Hello, everyone. I'm Louis Vargas, and you're listening to episode 48 of the Art Scene Podcast. Today's guest is Luca Antonucci, co-founder of Copa Press. He's back on to talk about the projects Copa Press is working on during the self-quarantine and the current state of the SF Art Book Fair, including new features to look forward to when it opens. Now, without further ado, here's our conversation. How's it going?
Oh, you know, I'm just like making work in my house like everyone else, I'm guessing.
Yeah. But yeah, so I wanted to have you on to talk about how you're dealing with the self-quarantining that we all have to do for the near future. I've been calling several people and having them on and seeing how they're coping with it slash dealing with it, adapting, mm-hmm. right? You mentioned you're just making artwork at home. Working from home.
I mean, it's like, I don't know if it's not procrastinating, but I'm definitely like, it feels easier to work on my own stuff than it does on you know, client work.
Yeah.
Just because like I'm at my house and I have all this free time, so I'm like, oh, I'm gonna make a new book. But then there's like three jobs I should be working on.
Well, you know, and that's what I wanted to ask you. Like, what does this all mean for your business? Which, to remind listeners, it's you and David Kasperzak you guys co-run Copa Press. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for the business that you normally do?
So it's a little hard to the honest answer is it's a little hard to tell at this point, just because we had three jobs sort of lined up before shelter in place. So we were fortunate enough to have that. We had just finished some work, and then we had these three. We have two book jobs, they're actually three book jobs. It's two book jobs and a catalog. So that's like part of our practice, just for the audience. Like, you know, we publish our own books and we sell those online and at book fairs. And then the other half is like design and print contract work that we do. So luckily we had some of those leading up to this, and then some that we're working on now. And it's really been like carrying us through the past month and into April. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah. So I feel fortunate for that. But the thing is that the thing I've noticed is like new work isn't really coming in as much.
Yeah.
So I don't know what like May and June are going to look like. So it's really just like, I feel good about April, but I can't say the same. I feel about May, you know?
And why do you think that is? Is it just like, because you guys work with artists, I'm assuming you work with other like art spaces and other like organizations, I would assume, right? Too. It's not just individual artists that you work with.
Right. Yeah. Well, so we're working with, sort of an artist, but through that artist and institution, we're working on the Future Farmers catalog for their most recent show at YBCA.
Oh yeah.
And I shouldn't say catalog. It's like a full on book.
Wow.
So happy to have that work, but I just think that, you know, moving forward, it's hard for people to commit to sort of published work, which is most of the design work we do, when, you know, there's no bookstores open to sell these books at.
Yeah.
And so I think everyone's like pretty hopeful that those things are going to come back, but it's like, it's hard to, I think it's hard to sort of plan for that, you know?
Yeah. Well, and like, is there a way to still continue that digitally in some way? I know I've seen a lot of galleries post, you know, they can't bring people to come to their galleries, but they can still post up what they're selling.
Yeah, absolutely. And we love that kind of work too. It's just, I think that a lot of people, the thing that's sort of unique about Copa is that I'm a printer. And so we print a lot of the stuff that we design. Yeah. And if we can't print it in house, we broker it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of a little bit different than hiring like a, like, you know, your typical design firm, because we like carry it through all the way through production.
Right.
And so And so I think that people don't know that we do like digital only stuff, but we do. So we are trying to sort of like, you know, shift to that more, but without like abandoning our like passion, which is books. But it's been, you know, that kind of like leads me to the other side of Culpa, which is our publishing. And that's been like sort of hard to get a grip on just because with the LA Art Book Fair having been canceled at the beginning of this month, or it was canceled last month, but it was supposed to happen at the beginning of this month.
Wow.
You know, we rely on the art fairs for a large chunk of our sales because we do such small runs.
Yeah.
So like, you know, selling them through stores is an option for us, but it's not as good as selling it directly to our audience, you know?
Yeah. Well, in the case that this unfortunately goes on longer than we would like it to go, do you have like a contingency plan, like, or like a and like, are you still trying to brainstorm what are other ways to, you know, bring in revenue or like continue to do projects to get to, you know, to keep the Culpa Press alive?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess I would say that what I'm working on right now is to like have more of an online presence for our published work. And then we've been like sort of wanting to shift more into, you know, like design work for a while now and focus on that more because, you know, like our publishing, I feel really fortunate that our publishing was going well. And so we focused a lot of energy there, but we also love our client work because it means we work with artists that we normally wouldn't choose ourselves.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm really excited for this Future Farmers book. And we're also like right now I'm designing, a book about the history of tarot cards, which is something that normally I probably wouldn't have found on my own.
Yeah. That sounds really cool. Well, tell me a lot about that. Like is that someone coming up to you saying like, hey, we would like to work with you to help design this book?
Yeah, it was through a friend. His name is Lauren Caddick, and he, you know, like has this passion of tarot card reading and is sort of, you know, like a expert in the field. And he's been working on this book that he wants to self-publish. As I'm sure a lot of those, well, as a lot of those things are, you know, like a lot of the occult studies.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we had just come off of this project. I'm not sure if you saw it. It was like, we did like a mural for SF MoMA for an exhibition called Printed Publics.
Yes, I did see that.
Okay. So yeah, so that was a commission and our work is in the show, but we got commissioned to do the wall. Mm-hmm. And I had this idea that like, me and David were talking and we were talking about like sort of visual directions for the project, and we were like thinking about publishing as this shared psychic space, you know, like where people seem to make the same books at the same times, and not like in a bad way, like you know, just that like in the art world this obviously happens, but in art publishing it seems even more so that there's this like zeitgeist that everyone sort of taps into.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that like books of flyers all started coming out, like ephemera.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like ephemera now has this like leading focus as a result in archives, you know? So it's like,
right.
You kind of see like these trends in publishing. And so we were like, oh, let's, you know, let's make like a sort of metaphor for that. And we like cut up and collaged all these like occult images from magazines that were both like Mexican and from the United States, and just sort of like made a collage based on that. And so my friend had seen that and sort of recommended us for this tarot card job. Sort of like, really sometimes there are these complicated connections.
Yeah. It's funny how that works out. Right. Like that's awesome. And when do you plan on, when is that plan on being published or being put out for,
I'm working on it and hoping to have it done by the end of the month. And you know, there's people who are like intermittently printing.
Mm-hmm.
Our situation was really fragile. So my main concern with our own printing, mm-hmm. Is that I'm still doing like risograph printing in our studio,
mm-hmm.
About once a week to sort of flatten the curve.
Yeah.
But, But as far as our digital press, we actually used the printer at SFAI for a lot of our projects.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so now that it's closed and potentially not reopening,
yeah,
it kind of is pushing us to you know, like, have to maybe acquire some of that equipment and in the meantime kind of print with other people.
Yeah. That's interesting that you were still using printing equipment at the, I would assume it's the digital dark lab, like, room, right?
Yeah, it's the DIS.
Yeah.
You know, when they first bought that printer, I like immediately got this class that was based on being able to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started printing on it a lot. And the way that I sort of became familiar with it was printing, you know, Culpa's books.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really using it for client work, but it's just one of those things where, like, the only way you can get to know it is using it, you know?
Right.
And it was such a great deal. Like, it was totally open to alumni and faculty, you know, like 30 cents a sheet.
There were alumni prices too, if I remember right. Like, if I remember, like, yeah,
totally. You can print on the wide format printers. I mean, that's kind of what I love about SFAI. Like, it was such an open campus, or it's such an open campus normally.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, like, a lot of those resources are just for students, right? Like,
right.
But a lot of them are for, like, sort of the larger SFAI community.
Yeah. But yeah, I even used it to scan negatives because I'd still use, like, a, you know, sometimes, like, I used large format film or whatever. And
oh, great.
I would go to their, you know, they have their lab, their computer labs and scanners open to the public. So you can walk in there and just, like, nobody checks your ID. So you just walk in and I can just use the equipment and just scan it. I am going to miss that.
It's awesome. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like, it's hard to balance the sort of, like, I don't know. I think those resources are important for students, but they're also important for, like, the people that work there, you know? So yeah. I'm finishing up my, it's definitely something that's going to be missed on the side of the faculty and staff too.
Sure.
Like, just having access to that school.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I was just talking to someone else on this podcast about like the tragedy of this school closing, but not necessarily sure if this is really truly the end, right? Like, it can't really end this way. Like, it can't be the end of the story.
Yeah. It doesn't seem that way, does it?
No. Yeah. It's been around for so long, and I feel like it spit out so many different types of people and alums that have contributed to the art community, including yourself, right? And so it feels like it can't just close like that. Like, something has to happen, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, I'm upset about it as an institution just because I think it's important. You know, like, it's so much, like, there's all the things that, like, we've been reading about and sort of are upset about, which are incredibly important. Like, you know, it's how unfair it is to the students to sort of just terminate them.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, the faculty and staff, like, who are all artists in their own right. And so these jobs allow them to, like, live and participate in our community in SFAI. And we don't want to lose them, you know?
Right.
Like, as a result of them getting a job somewhere else.
Yeah.
But the other part is just, like from like, a broad perspective for me, it's like, I just can't even imagine the city without it, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's like the flea market. It's like, what's even left when it's just like, what's even left when these places close? Like, we're just going to have, like, more, like, I don't know, Amazon Go stores or something. Like, right. I don't know what would replace it that would be more valuable.
It's a good question. What would replace that real estate spot if that school closed? Like, and it'd be sad because I'd probably just be a mansion for someone. or like you said, some tech company buys the space and, like, their offices are in there or something like that.
Yeah, or in, like, an art center, you know, with, like, adult continuing education that's, like, you know, 3 or 4 classes.
Right.
I just think it's really important that it stays a school, and so that's what people have, some of the faculty has been really focused on.
Yeah.
Or I should say all the faculty. And I mean, everyone wants it to stay a school. Hopefully they can figure that out.
For sure. I also wanted to talk to you about the SF Art Book Fair, which Culpa Press and Park Life put on together every year. So as of now, I don't think it's canceled, right? It's we're hoping that it's still planned for the summer, as it always
is. For July, yeah.
Yeah.
We're hoping. It's very hopeful, just because, like, the way things have changed, I think it's just crazy to anticipate anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, we have a sort of backup plan of postponing it, but under no means do we want to cancel it.
Yeah.
Just because I think, you know, it's sort of important to the publishing community, these events, not like, not the SF one specifically, like I wouldn't value it over anything else, but like, it's like, if we keep canceling these events, like how do we ever recover from it? And of course, like that would all be contingent on the safety of like the public and the publishers,
mm-hmm.
which is like the number one priority. But like at the same time, like you do have to consider that. I think we're like Culpa and Park Life and Minnesota Street, like we just want it to happen. So we're in a fortunate position where, you know, one of our partners is the venue.
Right.
And so like we can sort of shift things around to make it work.
Yeah, like if it has to happen in October, it'll be fine.
Yeah,
like you could do it.
Exactly. Right. But then, you know, you're like online and they're like, oh, everything's going to come back like even stronger in the fall. You know, it's, like, it's such an infuriating time to be an event planner.
Yeah.
But there's worse things in the world, especially now. So
yeah.
I'm just trying to like take it with a grain of salt.
Well, I mean, that's thinking that it is going to happen in July as it always does. Is there anything different or new to look forward to for the fair this year?
Yeah, I mean, we had some really great applications this year, and you know, again, like I'm just like, it's going to be hard for us to like, I'm really focused on international exhibitors because it's extra hard for people to travel right now.
Yeah.
So we're just trying our best to like think about ways around that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we have David Senior coming back as the programming coordinator.
All right. He's the head librarian at SF MoMA.
Right, correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so happy to have him do that again. And then, yeah, I mean, like every year, you know, we try and take new publishers that we just haven't heard of. So we did like a sort of a bigger outreach this year. And part of that reason was that we have a new sort of zine tent that we'll be erecting on the back street on Tennessee Street. And so, you know, that's like 40 new zine tables.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about that just because that's like sort of, you know, our like Culpa's like, you know, original love and what we started out as.
Yeah.
I mean, what we still are.
Right.
Now we just make like zines with spines. but I just, you know, like I'm excited to see all the like a sort of younger generation of publishing. Not that I'm some like old fogey, but that's what I love about these fairs is seeing all like the new presses that start up, you know.
Yeah.
And seeing your old friends.
Sure. Well, yeah, I think it's cool too because it I feel like, you know, anybody could be coming to this fair as an attendee and then the next year is just like inspired to like, I want to have a table and I have stuff that I could present and they can apply.
Yeah.
And it just keeps growing that way. I mean, even the event itself is growing. Last year was really great because I think, you know, compared to the first couple of years, the event last year was really starting to move outside of the walls, within the walls of,
yeah.
You know, and like you guys had a food truck in the back. You had, you know, you had Kunstcapades, you know, have like a live, like, you know, they were doing their live podcasting in front of the venue. And then there was like tents on the side of like other people selling things and showing things. It's growing into the streets.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what we're hoping to even expand on this year. Like, so back there where the food truck was is where the tent will be, and then all the food trucks, and then possibly even a stage with live music.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So So yeah, we have all these big plans for it. Like I said, it's just about when it'll happen, not if.
Right. Yeah. Which is a good attitude to have, I think, right? Like, I mean, so many, we keep hearing every day about things being canceled. It's good to hear that it's not canceled. We want to still have it. We just don't know when.
Yeah. And I mean, I understand that, you know, it's like Print and Matter works with the Geffen, for the LA Art Book Fair. And so it's not like they can just be like, oh, we want to do this in September. The Geffen will be like, well, that's great, but we have we have an exhibition here. So it sucks, like, you know, because people really rely on those fairs, like I said, like for not only for like the sense of community, which is important, but also like the income from them. Like, it's a huge deal to us to not participate in a fair.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, moving beyond the summer, do you have anything else to look forward to once we are out, we're able to go out and about again?
No, yeah, I mean, well, I'm just like just keeping on making books, so like with no sort of, you know, like definite plan of when they'll be published right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm working on a new book of my own work. Is about time, through the sort of filter of films about time travel, and so I'm working on that. And then we have some sort of projects in the works. We just finished a book with Osamu Sato, which is like a reprint of a book from 1993 that was called The Art of Computer Designing. And so we were really excited to sort of bring that to LA and kind of premiere it. So you know, like we're still sort of pushing that book and another book we made called Video Paintings with an artist named Michael Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like as far as future projects, you know, we have like 3 or 4 books in the works, but they're sort of like in the early stages. Sort of wait to hype those out there.
Well, the good news is that when we're able to... when the whole world's open to the public again, you'll be able to have like a stock of books and publishings that just be ready to go, that we can just share to the world, yeah, right?
We kind of always plan our releases for these fairs, right? So we had like 4 things ready for LA.
Yeah.
And I'm just like acting as if with San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, it kind of doubles us up, which is rare for us because we're always kind of like, you know, have just enough for each fair.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited about that. There's a new Ray Flyer book in the series.
Right.
That we made with the collection of D.B. Berkman.
Okay.
So it'll be a second volume to the New York one. So that'll be coming out. And then, you know, we're working on different, like, actually 3 more projects with 3 local artists. It'll be, like, Courtney Johnson, Cliff Hengst, and, oh, God, why can't I think of the 3rd one? Oh, it'll come back to me.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks for coming on, dude. I know it's a short call. I mean, most of my podcasts lately have been short because, you know, there's not anything to plug, you know, like there's no big show or anything like happening next week.
No, I get it.
Right. But you know, we've had you on before a couple times. And I always love talking to you because you always provide a different perspective, right? Most of the time I interview like, you know, but people deem to be like traditional artists, right? Like an artist is showing their work at a gallery or a museum professional, but you know, running a press, you know, a publishing press and, you know, and you're involved in other ways like the SF Art Book Fair.
Mm.
You bring a different perspective of the art community and also like the different effects that it can, like this whole shutdown can bring to the art world that we wouldn't really think about.
Yeah, I mean, I just to say something to that last point, like, I'm super, like, faithful that we'll kind of come out of this, but at the same time, like, everything in the U.S. is, like, you know, a lot of it is about people actually, like, purchasing things.
Yeah.
And so, the, you know, like, it's just so important to buy books right now.
Yeah.
And I know there's like more pressing problems, but and those are like so, you know, necessary.
Yeah.
But I just think that if we can sort of like, you know, look out for small presses and make sure they stick around, that'll be good. So
yeah.
That's something we're trying to do too. Like all these things that I'm always like, oh, that's cool, I'll buy it someday. Like now I'm just like, oh, I'm actually going to get it. Like just cause, you know, like I want to make sure that this place is around.
Yeah.
After this is over.
Absolutely.
So yeah. And then as far as like, you know, public funding goes, I'd love for people to, you know, consider that too. Like, just like, you know, like, it's obviously important to support all artists and just like leave a little space for that for presses, you know, because so often is it like sort of overlooked as an art practice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and speaking of, if any of the listeners want to buy anything, they should definitely go to copapress.com and buy stuff, yeah. Right?
Thanks for the shout out. I'm like so more like unabashed with my sort of salesmanship because I'm like, okay, I've never done this before, but like, please buy all of this stuff.
Yeah. And you know what? We have the time to read, you know, and flip through books and look through stuff and, this is the perfect time to like buy something that's different from like, you know, a novel that you happen to be reading. Take an art break and buy some art books.
Yeah, and I mean, I like also, you know, I think I don't want to come across like I think everyone's financial future is so unstable. So right. It's like obviously whatever you can afford is great.
Absolutely.
But like you can always do things for people like. You know, like if you have a friend who's an artist, just like post their work and let people know about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for coming on, man.
Okay. Thanks so much, Liv.
Yeah. And best to you and stay healthy and safe out there.
Yeah. Stay safe and say hi to the family for me.
Will do, man. Same to you.
Okay, good.
All right.
That's it for today, and thanks to Luca for coming back on. Be sure to follow Copa Press on Instagram at Copa Press and see what they have been up to. You can also visit their website at www.copapress.com, where you can buy art and art books that they have printed and published. Please, if you can, remember to support local artists and art book publishers. Many are still making work and selling them either online, through galleries, or even on social media. All right, till next time, everyone.